of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, hello. We are back. It is Tuesday, August 9th. I'm here with my lovely daughter, Kylie.
Hello.
How are you doing today, sweetheart?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
Good. Feels weird that you're home for the summer, and I, like, barely see you. This is, like, only, like, the second time I've seen you, other than for, like, 1 minute running out the door this morning. What'd you do today?
Well, today I went to the gym, food prepped, did homework, and that's it.
So let me ask you, you food prepped.
Yep.
So when you're food prepping, how many people your age food prep at 19?
Probably, I mean, genuinely, I don't know. I play rugby at Grand Canyon, for anybody that doesn't know. And this rugby season, I really want to come out as a starter. So I'm trying to dial in my diet and my weights and to get on that starting line this season.
That's great. Well, I think, you know, paying the price in the kitchen or doing the little things often is what sets athletes apart, you know. And it's funny because as as a dad and then as a coach, you know, I've tried to separate those. With every kid, I've gotten better. I didn't do that well with you, obviously, but I think that's in a lot of ways that's what makes you you. That's why your nickname has been Nails since I think Uncle Jesse gave it to you like in third grade. So,
yeah.
What part of your training do you enjoy the least? Do you think?
I mean, my diet. If I could, I'd eat cookies and, you know, ice cream all the time, but that's probably the hardest part. You know, 80% is your diet, 20% is your working out, so.
You know, I think diet, a lot of people struggle with that, but I think the most important thing for people to understand is it's not so much, it's a lifestyle. You've got to adopt to that lifestyle forever.
Yep.
But, well, okay, so here's the thing. Often in sports, we have audibles. And audibles can be good, audibles can be bad. I know a lot of us were very excited for the Chris Kellstrom, Baron Browning debate, but as chance would have it, Baron got called out on a fire to Redwood City, I believe it was. So we had to push it back a week and maybe to the 23rd of August, but we really, really, really lucked out. And this is where sometimes when you audible, it actually winds up going really cool, because the original guest that we had scheduled is a gentleman that I met who's here in studio with us tonight. He is become a good friend of mine over the last year. He's a 30-year retired law enforcement officer from retired as a sergeant in San Diego PD. But before that, he was in the Navy, was a firefighter as well as an EMT, and then, of course, went to San Diego PD, where he spent a lot of time as an undercover officer and then did some negotiation work. And I met him about, well, like I said, about a year ago. I was speaking at a conference, and he was there, and we got to talking a little bit, and he does something that's really, really incredible. Since he's retired, he started what's called the International De-escalation Association, or IDEA is the acronym. And he travels, before COVID, traveled the globe, worked with London and Paris PDs, as well as many police departments all over the country, teaching de-escalation techniques. But when I heard him speak, or when we were talking, I was really taken aback about some of the things he was teaching, but I was putting it more towards kids. And I told Carrie, his name's Carrie, this is Carrie Mencior, and I said, Carrie, you've got to do what you're doing for kids. And he's actually up here working with a school district that I connected him with. And so when he was going to be in town, I said, hey, you've got to come on my show. And then, of course, with Baron and Chris, I wanted to get them both on, and the schedules lined up, so I was going to bring them on. But because they didn't, it still worked out, and Carrie was more than gracious to accept the invite to come back on, even though he was pulled. So there's two buckets I really want to touch, or really want to attack this hour with Carrie, as I think it relates very, very well to what we have here in Shasta County, because we have a lot of individuals, Carrie, here in Shasta County that are on our streets that can be very confrontational. And just in everyday life, we find confrontation. But I think I really want to tackle, I want to talk about your background, the first segment, but in the middle part of the show, I really want to talk about the training program that you have or that you talk about, how to de-escalate a situation in 90 seconds or less. I think that would be really great for a lot of people to hear. So if they're in a parking lot at a mall and something gets almost out of hand really quick, and how to de-escalate that. But then also, I think what would be great is for all the parents listening or even kids, and then how to communicate better and de-escalate those types of situations. So first of all, Carrie, thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me on the show.
You bet.
I'm
so
honored.
So tell us a little bit just about your background before we dive into this really heavy topic.
Well, you summed it up already really well. I left home at 17, joined the Navy. I was on submarines. I did 8 deployments and then became a firefighter, which I grew up in a firefighting world. My dad was a fire chief. I literally grew up at the firehouse. And so I had, you know, every kid growing up that thinks about being a firefighter or a cop, I was locked into the fire department. And so I was on a fire department in South Carolina, and then I was on a fire department in Southern California, in San Diego area, just outside San Diego. And I made a fateful decision one day. I went on a ride-along with the police department. And 10 hours, I'm just going, hey, I don't have to sit at the station and wait for an accident to happen or a medical aid call or a fire to happen. I can go out and do my own thing. This is a job for me. And being a consummate overachiever, self-starter, that's what I dove into. And
that's awesome.
So I went from the fire department and being in the EMT, I maintain my EMT certification. Did 30 years on the police department in San Diego, retired as a sergeant a couple years back. And now I run the, as you said, the International De-Escalation Association, IDEA, which is theidea.world.
Got
the website.
Great.
So how did you get that started up?
You know, as I was getting to the end of my career, let me take a half step back. At the very beginning of my career, I was working a pedophile series. Mm-hmm. And what was going on, and if you're familiar with Balboa Park in San Diego, it's a third larger than New York's Central Park.
Wow.
And has all of the same problems.
Mm-hmm.
And so what was happening on the downtown edge of the park is pedophiles were picking up young boys. And when I say young boys, I'm talking 9, 10, 11 years old.
Crazy.
Totally crazy. And my sergeant stopped me in the hallway one day, and he said, hey, do you know how many citizen complaints the average Central Division officer gets? And I laughed, and I said, I didn't know they tracked that. He said, well, they do. It's 0.3 a year. And I said, how can you get a third of a complaint? He says, well, it's one every 3 years. They averages out to 0.3 a year. I said, okay. And I knew where this conversation was going, and I didn't want to be part of it. But he kept me there, and he said, do you know how many you've had? And I said, I didn't know they tracked that. He said, well, they do. And I'd had 7.
Wow.
Instead of 1 every 3 years, I had had 7 in 6 months. And so I got transferred. But they didn't send me to any training or anything because no training existed. So what I ended up doing back then, for the college, I got hired at the San Diego Community College District. And they asked me to create a new course. It was called Diversity and Community Relations. So I created that course, wrote the curriculum, wrote the textbook, taught it for about 10 years. And that set me on the path toward learning communication skills. But toward the end of my career, I realized we're dealing with this de-escalation stuff. We're being asked to de-escalate situations, but it's not working.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk more about later on about why not, but I knew there was missing pieces. And I divide people into 3 broad categories, especially when they're dealing. And it doesn't matter whether they're dealing with law enforcement or they're a parent or a student in a classroom or just walking down the street. There's 3 classes of people, general categories. There's yes people, no people, and maybe people. So, yes, people, they'll go along with whatever you want, especially when you're dealing with law enforcement. They're very respectful. They're compliant. They're just going to do what they're asked to do. And then there's no people who fight you all the time. They're just opposite.
Doesn't matter what it is.
Doesn't matter what it is, yeah. And then there's the rest of the group, which is, you know, there may be, they could go either way depending on which way the wind's blowing. And so you walk into a grocery store and you might run into a no person. And that's the person that just cuts in front of you in line. They don't care about anybody else. They're inward focused and that's all they care about. And then you got yes people are like, oh yeah, please go ahead. I'm not in a rush today. And they let you go in front of them because they see that you have like three things in your hands and they got a shopping cart just, you know, packed with stuff.
Yeah.
And they go, yeah, oh no, you ain't got three things. Go ahead of me. That would be an example of a yes person that you run into just, you know, every day. And then maybe it's, did they have a good day or a bad day?
I think that's where most people fall.
Yeah, most people do. And so when you look at that kind of grouping in law enforcement, we de-escalate yes people all the time, and they're easy. They might be having a bad day, but you can talk to them, and it doesn't take much. And so those are all the success stories. And no people, that's where we get into use of force situations. Mm-hmm. And a teacher is sending that student to the principal's office, and they're looking at getting expelled or suspended or at least some, you know, detention time. And what we ultimately do, whether you're in law enforcement in a use of force situation or a teacher or a principal dealing with a misbehaving student, those are missed opportunities to understand how the brain works, to understand how our personalities work, understand what's motivating people, to be able to actually connect with that person and take their day and turn it around to be in a much better day, mm-hmm. rather than sending it into the toilet.
Yeah. So before we get too much into the science and then get into the actual part that I'm really excited about you sharing with the people of Shasta County about de-escalating situations, because we have them here all the time. Really quick, what's you've been married to your bride for how long? You guys been together now?
We've been together coming up on 9 years now.
That's awesome. And you guys have how many kids between you?
We don't have any kids. She has two daughters.
Two daughters, that's right.
And we have four grandchildren.
Four grandchildren. And how old are the grandchildren?
Grandchildren range from 3.5 years old up to 15 and a half.
15
and there's
and
a big
half.
Gap between that 3-year-old and the 10-year-old.
That's right. I remember. And, you know, so what do you guys do as grandparents? Like, what's your favorite thing that you guys get to do as grandparents in San Diego?
Oh, you know, our youngest grandson is over at the house almost every day. And so whether it's, you know, we're doing a lot of planting of vegetables right now and, out, you know, just outdoor gardening. So he's all into that, watching the cucumbers grow and the seeds sprout. And he's just a learning machine. It's a beautiful thing about that age. There's no awareness of limitations.
Yeah. Does he know Grandma was an undercover officer for years with San Diego PD?
He does not know that side about GMA.
Yeah, she is one tough cookie. I've only got to spend a very short amount of time with her. Obviously very pretty, but man, just super like sharp and funny. Like I've appreciated the time we've got to spend with her. So are you a baseball guy, football guy? What do you do outside of law enforcement and molding people's brains into understanding how they actually work?
I love getting away from people.
Yeah.
I'm like the classic retired cop. I don't want to be around people. No, I'm half joking. You know, we just went on a camping trip up just north of Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, not that long ago. And it was just, we spent a couple of days away. We're on an island. You had to take a boat out to the island.
Yeah.
And no services, just relaxation.
That's
and
awesome.
Between that and hiking, backpacking, I can't think of anything better to do than getting out in nature.
We're really fortunate here. I know you've been able to make a couple. Wow, is this like your third or fourth time to Redding now?
Oh, my gosh. I've been to Redding more in 6 months than I've been anywhere.
Yeah.
Seriously.
No, yeah.
I've been here more times.
I know you're starting to do a lot with a lot of different districts.
Yeah.
Hopefully you're going to get a chance to get out and see some of the cool things we have. I mean, Bernie Falls is quite a ways away. But, I mean, this is an amazing, I mean, this California Adventure District that we have here is an amazing place for a lot of stuff outdoors.
Yeah.
I don't think people even that live here for a long time even. It's hard not to take it for granted when you're used to seeing it all the time.
Yeah, Kylie, it's almost like being down in San Diego.
Do you have any other quick questions for Carrie before we go to break?
Not that pertain to anything before the break, no.
Okay, well, we'll take our first break. We'll be right back with Carrie, and we'll dive into how to de-escalate any situation in 90 seconds or less. Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew. This month's cigar of the humidor is La Unica Dominican Primeros. Premium shade-grown Connecticut wrappers combined with a long filler blend of aged Cuban seed Dominican tobaccos, providing a smooth, mellow to medium-bodied experience. It's a rich and balanced selection with subtle hints of nuts, cream, and fruit. La Unica Dominican Primeros. Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Right. We are back. We are here with Carrie, who is the founder and executive director of IDEA, the International De-escalation Association. And Carrie is going to give us and educate us how to de-escalate any situation in 90 seconds or less. And I think this is just beyond valuable, especially in the world we live in today. But I think it relates to young people, old people, any walk of life. People have to know how to deal with conflict. So, Carrie, how do we deal with conflict?
The foundation of it is understanding a really simple concept, which is your brain can only be in one of two states. You're either in executive state or you're in survival state. And survival state is that fight or flight or freeze. And that's your sympathetic nervous system kicking off. And you get adrenaline rush. Sometimes you feel your hand shaking a little bit after a minute or so of some encounter with somebody that made you usually really mad.
Yeah.
And so that's survival state. Executive state, that's where we're at right now. The front of our brain, it's called the PFC, the prefrontal cortex. The front of our brain is turned on. And what that means is we can problem solve, we can be creative.
We can reason.
We can reason. We can actually be logical. Survival state is strictly an emotional reaction. And we're largely emotional creatures anyway. So research has shown that the great philosophers, Plato, Socrates, that thought we were rational beings, and that's what separated us from the animals. That's wrong. We're like 98%, no exaggeration, 98% emotional beings.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and we back it up with logic. Mm-hmm. Think about the last major purchase that you made. You buy a car, you buy a refrigerator. Those are emotional decisions, and then we come back with logic to say, oh, this was a good choice I made. It was good value.
You feel something when you're buying it.
100% of the time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're in executive state or survival state. And if we're in survival state, we're making snap decisions. And you can tell you're in survival state and you make these snap decisions because you almost always have to apologize for something that you did or you feel a little bit bad about it. Maybe you're in the car and you're by yourself, so you don't have to apologize to anybody else, but you flip off the car next to you because they tried to cut over and they didn't know you were there. But, you know, you feel offended that they cut you off. Or maybe they did do it on purpose. Maybe. But, gosh, you know, it sends you in survival state. You're screaming and yelling. You're smacking the steering wheel and just having a bad reaction. And that takes a toll on your body. The stress, the cortisol, the adrenaline, very, very acidic. Mm-hmm. And it actually irritates your brain and sets you up for being in survival state longer.
Really?
So the first part is, if you're going to de-escalate a situation, if you're going to calm an angry person in 90 seconds or less, you have to be in executive state. So the first thing is, am I in executive state or survival state? If I'm in survival state, I need to switch. And that's what we teach in our training.
And how do you know whether you're in survival or executive state?
Kylie, that's a great question. Here's a simple way to think about it. Are you in happiness, joy, and gratitude? Are you having good emotions? Mm-hmm. Are you like, hey, this is a great day? Or are you in fear, frustration, anger?
Yeah.
Because if you're having negative emotions, if you're yelling at somebody, if you're irritated or PO'd or just flat out angry or frustrated, those are all negative emotions. That tells you immediately, oh, negative emotions, I'm in survival state.
Yeah.
If you're like right now, we got happy. It's a beautiful day outside, sunshine, and you know, my trip up here from San Diego today was smooth as could be. The flight wasn't full. The rental car experience was great. The drive up here was great.
No survival state there.
No survival state at all. Yeah, and even when there was a little bit of thick traffic in Sacramento as I was leaving, it's no survival state. It's just all executive state, mm-hmm. which is unusual when you're making a trip of, you know, starting at 10 in the morning and getting up here just before 6.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got 8 hours of travel. There's lots of opportunity for survival state to kick in.
Yeah.
We spend about 70% of our life in survival state. So when you get those big blocks of time when everything goes really smoothly, you revel in that. Because that's where fun is. That's where life is enjoyable. It's an executive state.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to de-escalate somebody, first of all, you got to be in executive state.
Yeah.
We teach ways to shift yourself literally like a light switch. Sometimes it's a dimmer switch going between the two. You're shifting like a children's teeter-totter on a playground. It's going back and forth. It's only one or the other. Or you're shifting from one to the other. So that's the first part. And then you got to get that other person. If you're having to calm them down, if you're having to deal with an angry person or a frustrated person, they're in survival state. And what that's powerful, knowing this executive state, survival state thing, because you understand that their thinking part of the brain is not working. And so if you're dealing with a child and you're like, why did you do that? You start asking them questions that require them to reach inside their brain for an answer. They can't give it to you.
Yeah, so it's not like they don't want to. They just can't.
They physically and mentally and emotionally cannot give you an answer. So, like, you start yelling at a kid, and they look at you, and they look like a deer in the headlights.
Mm-hmm.
Fight, flight, or freeze is survival state. They're frozen because they don't know what to do. They don't want to say the wrong thing. But they can't think of the right thing to say because that part of their brain is offline. A circuit breaker has been tripped. And there's no power to it. There's like no electricity going to that part of the brain. Mm-hmm. It's dark down. How do we know this? Because we shove people inside a functional MRI machine. So it doesn't has no x-rays and doesn't bombard their brain. We can see what's going on inside their head in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And you show them pictures of an angry person. You ask them, what do you see? And you watch parts of their brain light up and parts of their brain quiet down. You show them a sinking ship or someone with a weapon or a smiling person. Show them happy pictures. And you get to see what is actually going on inside their head. And that's where we learn about this executive state and survival state. And what we say and do affects the other person's brain.
Wow.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
So give us an example, just a situation that you saw unfold. I mean, I know you've got thousands, but as a police officer in San Diego dealing with somebody, you know, on the street, you know, whether they're talking to you or somebody else, and then you've seen that go one of two ways, and you know, and give us maybe both circumstances, but or how that would play out, but you know, obviously two different situations, but just give us some things that you've seen that where someone de-escalated something really well, and then somebody that didn't de-escalate something very well, and what those outcomes were.
So here's something. I worked as an accident reconstructionist, so I ran a squad of accident investigators at traffic division. And so I would, even as a supervisor, make traffic stops. And you, 100% of the time, and this is what law enforcement really has to just fully wrap their heads around, 100% of the time when you make a traffic stop, that driver, and oftentimes the passengers as well, is automatically in survival state.
Mm-hmm.
Because as soon as they saw you, the first thing they did was they glanced out their speedometer. All of us do that. I do that. And as soon as the flashy lights come on, they're like, oh, and all sorts of things are running through their head. Whether, even if they like law enforcement officers, there's tons of negative things running through their head because they don't want to get a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Tickets are expensive. They affect your insurance. You got to go to traffic school. That's a time suck. It takes time to even just keep track of this stuff. If I get a ticket, then and even if I just handle everything over the internet, I still got to wait for the courtesy notice. I got to make sure all these boxes are checked. So 100% of the time, the driver's in survival state. So what I would do is I'd make a traffic stop, and I would walk up. Driver would roll down the window, and my very first words would be, "Are you okay?" And you could see the shift that occurred. First of all, there'd almost always be a look of surprise on their face.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to process that question because they weren't expecting it.
Yeah, I it's always been, "Do you know why I stopped you?"
Yeah.
And I've got the most respect for law enforcement. So
oh, you
I have,
totally do. You totally yeah. do. And I'll tell you this. Look, officers across the country are taught something called the 8-step traffic stop process. And 7 steps if you stop a pedestrian, because one of the steps is asking for a driver's license, proof of insurance. If you stop a pedestrian, well, you don't need to ask for that, right? So that's why it's 7 steps instead of 8.
Or if you're voting. I'm sorry, I had to do that.
There you go.
So, go ahead.
So if you... And by the way, I don't care who you are. That was funny.
Okay.
So,
all right.
The very first thing the officers are taught in this 8-step is you identify yourself, or you ask, and usually what happens is the officer asks a question. The reason that they say, "Do you know why I stopped you?" is they're looking for what's called an incriminating statement. They're looking for the driver to go, "Yeah, I ran a red light," or "I was going too fast," or something. Now, different officers, depending on their approach to enforcement, use that question for different things. Some of them just use an incriminating statement for court purposes. If that person were to fight the ticket, they have the, "I asked him why, did he know why I stopped him?" And they said no, even though they're driving 100 miles an hour down the freeway. So clearly they were lying. And if the person makes an admission that might be used against them in court. And some officers aren't looking for that genuinely. What they're looking for is, "Are you going to be honest with me?"
Yeah.
Because if you're going to be honest with me, that tells me you're probably going to change your behavior. If you're going to change your behavior, maybe I don't need to write you a ticket. That was my criteria. All we're looking for on a traffic stop is change of behavior. We want you to drive better. Mm-hmm. So there's not a crash that I then have to go investigate. So when you ask somebody, "Do you know why?" And why is a big trigger word for people. It's a trigger word because my 3-year-old grandson, every time that he knocks a lamp over or something happens, and you know, the big gargantuan adults are 3 times, look at him and go, "Why did you do that?"
Yeah.
You grow up like that. Kylie, I can't imagine how many times, you know, you're 19 years old, how many times have you been asked?
Oh, still, my dad, why'd you wear that shirt today?
Yeah.
In the parking lot.
Right. Okay. So, and by the way, this is a very nice shirt. You have great passions in.
That's not the shirt she had on.
Okay. So, but here's the thing. You get asked why you did something or, you know, do you know why I stopped you? Why is a trigger word? If they weren't in survival state, bam. That teeter-totter flips, and they're in survival state right now because they got asked why. And they don't even know why. Why is a trigger word. It's just, we know it is.
Makes them feel uncomfortable.
It makes you feel very uncomfortable because now you have to rationalize, justify, explain your actions.
Mm-hmm.
So officers will ask this question, or they'll say, I stopped you because you were speeding. Well, okay, great. Now we've just made the driver wrong when they already knew they were wrong, but you've started down the shame path. And unfortunately, what's being taught across the country sets drivers and officers, law enforcement officers, up for failure. Because now we're putting the officer, law enforcement officer has pulled you over, is at least partway in survival state because they don't know you. They don't know if you have a gun. They don't know if you intend to kill them. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of bad things that happen to cops on traffic stops. They've got cars driving by. The drivers are not paying attention. They're on their cell phones.
Then why do agencies continue to train this way?
Because they don't know better. Because we're using.
How do they not know better? You know what I mean?
Well, because this is new stuff. In the scientific world, the functional MRI machine and the studies that came out of it, that's recent.
See, like recent, like 10 years?
Like 2007. So we're coming up on, what, 15 years?
I mean, I get government and bureaucracy. The wheels move very slow. But
that's the scientific world.
Yeah.
So they do the study, and then it gets peer-reviewed. It gets repeated and repeated and repeated and then published. So that takes time. That's part of it. Part of it is the bureaucracy. Part of it is I have spent thousands of hours researching, reading reports. I subscribe to a service that I pay for that sends me research papers. Now I'm reading abstracts. Mm-hmm. I read multiple abstracts every single day because I'm looking for that. I'm digging for this because I was searching. I knew there was a missing piece. I knew that there was some reason that when I said to people, are you okay? That everything was like putting water on a fire. They immediately calmed down. Their meter changed. You could see the stress leave their body. Because what happened? They were seen, felt, understood. Someone cared about them. You cannot feel cared for. You cannot feel compassion. Which, by the way, Kylie, those are positive or negative emotions?
Positive.
Right. Which means what state is your brain in?
Oh, what's the word?
Executive state.
Yeah. You should have been taking notes.
Now, right here, right just now, I popped you with a question out of the blue. You immediately start to go into survival state.
I could feel my heart pump into a little bit faster than normal.
Just a little bit faster. Mm-hmm. There's that little of adrenaline hit because you're on the air. Your people are listening, and I asked you a question. You're like, I got to have this answer for it, Carrie. So, but what happened was by us just helping you out a little bit, put you right back in executive state.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that's an example of us deliberately, and your dad knows this stuff because we've talked a lot. Your dad knows how to shift people into executive state, and that's just a quick example of us doing it on the air.
Well, it's the curiosity part. Like, I think when you bring Curious George out, like, I know we both presented at Chico State, and when I saw the Curious George doll, you know, and then you, of course, talk about that. That's very interesting to me. So what we're going to do is when we come back, we're going to take some callers. And if you'd like to call in, 530-605-4567. Again, that number is 530-605-4567. We're going to take some callers. But I also want to jump a little bit more into and go a little deeper into people that sometimes almost seem like they can't get out of survival state. So we'll be right back, and we'll touch on that.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on the Flat Line and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Have you just received your Starlink? Congratulations! Do you need help installing it? Look no further than your local satellite professionals. That's right, BT Satellite. Call Doug and the whole team to set up your Starlink with the same customer service you've come to know. BT Satellite will set up your Starlink and work with you to make the experience a pleasure for you. Call today and set up your time to install the new Starlink. You know, don't call the 800 number. Call 241-3474. That's BT Satellite, 241-3474. You about ready for school, son?
That's okay, Mom. Dad's dropping me off.
Why?
Because Dad's ride looks awesome after the new paint job from Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center. They also took out that huge scratch and dent.
I took Dad's car to Mako at 3045 Crossroads Drive.
Oh, okay. It looks sick.
Sick?
Mom, sick means cool.
Sick.
It sounds weird when you say it.
Uh-oh, better call Mako. Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Call today for your free estimate. 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992. Whether you're squeezing in that last-minute summer vacation, taking the kids back to school shopping, or even back to school, don't forget to stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. With car wash packages starting at only $9. Or buy 5 car wash coupons, get one free. Or buy 10 car wash coupons and get 3 free. Stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and clean.
All right, guys, we are back with Carrie teaching us how to de-escalate a situation. But before we start that, I just had a question for you. I'm actually a psychology student myself, but my mom is a teacher, and she was telling me you only have to take one psychology class in order to get your bachelor's in teaching. And why don't they teach more? Because, you know, kids learn so differently, and I think that in these recent years even, we're learning how important psychology truly is, and teaching's not black and white. Teachers can't teach the same to even two different kids. You know, one kid might be taught visual better, and the other kid's twiddling their thumbs because that's just not how they learn. So is that anything that you would deal with in teaching teachers how to do that?
Yeah, so in addition to, and you just bring up an amazing point, because everybody does learn so differently. And I want to talk flowers for just a second. So just real briefly, and this is DNA stuff. This is genetics. Mm-hmm. There's about half of the population has what's called a low nervous system reactivity. And what happens is they get and it has to deal with the serotonin, which is a neurotransmitter in your brain.
Yeah.
And it has to deal with how does your nervous system react under stress. So about half of the population gets they get one gene from mom and one gene from dad. And they get two long ones. So they get one long from mom, one long from dad. And what that means is they have a low nervous system reactivity. And they're very resilient. And we call them dandelions. They can grow in a crack of a sidewalk. They can grow anywhere. They requires no care of feeding. They just plug along. You can hit them with all sorts of stuff, and they just keep charging along.
Yeah.
They're there every day. And in a school, in a classroom, they're the students that sit down. They open up their textbook. They, yes sir, no ma'am. The teachers don't even have to really think much about them because they're just there. They're solid. About 25% of the people get one short gene from mom and one short gene from dad. They have a very high nervous system reactivity. We call those people orchids. Because an orchid requires a lot of TLC, it requires a lot of care and feeding, you got to pay attention. I have had a lot of orchids, and I have a 100% success rate with orchids.
Really?
100%. I've killed every single one I've ever had. Every single one. I cannot raise orchids. when I have them, 90 days, that's it. That's the most I can get them to. And they're beautiful flowers. Mm-hmm. Steve Jobs is an example of an orchid. Highly reactive, but look at what he created. You've probably got one of those sitting in front of you.
A few.
Yeah. orchids just, they have amazing, amazing potential. They need a little bit of extra care. And then about the other 25% get one long and one short. And so they can shift either way. So it's all about the nervous system reactivity. And we all know people in our life that tend to fly off the handle at the drop of a hat. They're either really highly emotional or they react very quickly. And other people are just, they're just so calm. Well, now you know why. Mm-hmm. It has to deal with the genes that they got. Now, does that mean that you're stuck that? If I get two shorts, one short for mom, one short for dad, and I'm an orchid, does that mean I'm just that way and those are the cards I've been dealt? No. Mm-hmm. We can do things for personal development. Mm-hmm. We can practice growing. We can learn about things. We can meditate. We can exercise. We can have a great diet. There's lots of things that we can do in the personal development space to lower that nervous system reactivity, yet still have all these great things. And does that mean a dandelion is always just going to grow on the crack of a sidewalk? No, mm-hmm. It can do the same thing. So we all have the ability to shift and change and grow. But initially, when you're talking about a kid in a classroom, what a teacher is faced with is about half the class, by statistics, half the class is going to be dandelions. They got another 25% of orchids, another 25% a crossover.
So let's shift away from the classroom. Let me, because you know I have a saying that I use pretty often, because it's, you know, in the line of work that I have, not just owning the Ninja Gym, but just being around kids in general. Kids can't choose their parents.
Yeah.
And you know, I've been a witness to see a lot of kids that I've personally coached. You know, when a parent's up in the stands screaming at a ref, screaming at me, screaming at the other coach or someone from the other team. You know, the player will look at you and say, "Man, I'm sorry." And they get it, and there's this understanding. So what does the kid do? What does the young person do, which they should never have to be in this situation, but what does that 14, 15-year-old kid do to de-escalate their parent or a guardian? And without any stories, but just give us the, so I can play this back for a 14 or 15-year-old when, dad comes home, mom comes home, somebody comes home, possibly drunk or intoxicated or impaired, and they know a beating's coming. How can they de-escalate their parents or their guardian, which is a horrible thought, but that's the world we live in. You know, we have to teach people how to take care of themselves and survive. So what advice, if you had a 14-year-old here who had an abusive parent, of course, CPS, et cetera, but in that moment, what advice would you have for a 14-year-old to de-escalate an adult?
So I'm going to share a tool that's actually taught to convicts in maximum security prisons,
Okay. Inmates.
And this tool is so powerful, it's reduced prison violence. And it's called labeling. So literally what you do is you ignore the words, whatever words are being thrown at you. Because if you listen to the words, a lot of times they'll trigger you. If you're a parent and your child is going, "You're not my dad," or "I hate you," or any of the things that kids magically come up with from somewhere that are just hurtful, and we call them button pushers. They push your button and just launch you into outer space. So, or if you're a kid dealing with a hostile parent, what you do in advance is what's predictable is preventable. What's predictable is preventable. What's preventable is your bad reaction. So you think about in advance, am I likely to have this situation pop up? And dad's going to come home and he's going to be drunk. Well, he starts yelling at me, or he starts yelling at mom. What you do is you listen to the emotions, and you also listen to the fears. Fear is the root of all conflict. I'm going to say that one more time. Fear is the root of all conflict. So even if it's coming across as anger, there's a fear underlying that somewhere. And so what you do is you label the emotions. You ignore the words so they don't trigger you into survival state. And then you just say, you're frustrated, or you're angry, or you're sad, whatever the emotions are that they have. And if you can throw in, this is a really magical word. They've actually done scientific studies on it. It's so cool. This word is so magical, and the word is because. You're angry because I didn't take out the trash cans, and you think that if I didn't do that, you can't depend on me for anything else. You're frustrated because I forgot something again that was important to you.
Mm-hmm.
See, when we label, if we're wrong, that person will correct us. The humans have two addictions that are more powerful than any cocaine, methamphetamine, heroin, fentanyl, anything. The first, most powerful addiction is to be understood. The second one is to correct people when they're wrong. So if you say you're angry, and I'm not angry, I'm actually just frustrated, I'll tell you, I'm not angry, I'm frustrated. Well, here's the cool thing. I just labeled myself. My brain does not care where that label came from. If it came from me, great. If it came from you, great. Does not matter. I'm understood.
Mm-hmm.
So if you say, Carrie, you're angry. I'm not angry. I'm frustrated. Okay. Well, that just did a big step toward that de-escalation, toward that calming someone in 90 seconds or less.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're trying to do is we're trying to make the upset person, they have this part of their brain 24 hours a day it's working. And all it's doing is this. It's asking one question. Am I safe? And another way to phrase that question that it's asking is friend or foe?
The amygdala?
The amygdala. Yeah. We call the amygdala Amy for short.
Yeah.
So Amy is only asking one question. Friend or foe? Friend or foe? Am I safe? Because if you're a friend, then I'm safe. If you're a foe, then I'm in danger and I'm going to stay in survival state. As soon as someone understands you, they're a friend, which means Amy calms down, which means that thinking part of your brain that allows us to be in executive state comes back online. When we're in survival state, the thinking part of our brain is literally shut off.
So what advice would you have for somebody that's in a parking lot and somebody's panhandling,
yeah,
or somebody wants something? They're asking for a ride, for money, if they can use a cell phone. How do you de-escalate that so you could just get in your car? And I'm talking about the person that feels unsafe, that feels a little bit like this isn't a situation I want to be in.
Yeah.
By myself right now. So how do you de-escalate that? How do you get a person to, like, you know, sometimes you can just say, I don't have any money, man, I'm sorry. But I'm thinking more for, like, my daughter, you know, as an example. And it's happened to her. It's happened to her here in Reading. And so how does that, like, what are the key words? And then also in that, is there, I mean, if there's substance abuse, things like that, that possibly the person or is under the influence of, does that just throw everything you're saying out the window, and then it just, the impairment doesn't matter at that point?
Well, here's the great thing. With the exception of paranoid schizophrenics, because the wiring in their brain is different, other than that tiny percentage of the population, our techniques work on everybody, because everybody has a limbic system in their brain. Everybody does. Drunk or on drugs, our techniques still work. That's the beautiful thing about it. So you're given the parking lot situation. And Kylie, I can imagine, first of all, you're young, you're attractive, you're female. If you ever get an uncomfortable feeling, you're just like the hair standing up on the back of your neck, you just got this icky feeling in the pit of your stomach, first thing I'm always going to tell you is trust that.
Mm-hmm.
Never, 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 never disregard that.
Yeah.
You got to trust it. Because here's the thing. What's happening is your brain is taking in all this information you're not even consciously aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And it's telling you, you are in danger. Now, maybe it's real. Maybe it's just perceived. It does not matter at that point. What matters is you trust it. You always trust your instincts.
Mm-hmm.
Because the moment you don't, you're going to get hurt.
Yeah.
So first is, someone's given you, whether you describe it, I got a bad vibe from that person, or just hair stand on the back of my neck, whatever it is. I got goosebumps. I just don't feel good about this. Leave.
Yeah.
Ignore the person. Get in your car or get to where you can to be safe. Now, if the person asks you, and this is especially true in foreign countries if you're traveling, now that these lockdowns and lockups and everything else are starting to lift, you travel to another country and somebody comes up to you and asks you for the time. Don't look at your watch and give them the time. Get away from there. It's a setup. Somebody asked, we had this situation just came up with somebody that I know. They had somebody come up and go, hey, I need to borrow your cell phone because I got this bad situation. My car's broken down and, my cell phone battery died and can I use your cell phone? No.
Absolutely not.
No. Now, if you're feeling like really magnanimous and you're feeling totally comfortable with the situation, you want to make a call for them, that's one thing. But here's the thing. As soon as you get on that phone, you're distracted. It's a setup. They can find somebody else to make that call. If your gut is telling you and your hairs in the back of your neck are telling you this is danger, trust that. Mm-hmm. 100% of the time.
Yeah.
Now, let's say somebody comes up, they're panhandling, and they're being a little bit persistent. You're like, I don't have any money. Oh, come on. Here's the thing. Where are they at? What emotions are they feeling? This is the platinum rule. How do they want to be treated? And what I'll say is you can label them as well, because if they're a little bit hinky, when you have a connection with someone, when you have rapport with someone, it becomes much harder to hurt that person. I've heard of the Stockholm effect. So in a hostage situation, the longer that a hostage taker and a hostage spend together, less likelihood is that they're going to kill them, because they develop rapport. They start to have empathy for each other.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just violently react to this person who's panhandling, they might have a violent reaction to you because you just sent them into survival state if they weren't already.
Yeah.
And the barrier to going into survival state is a lot lower when you are drunk or on drugs. So understand that situation. So label the emotions that they're feeling. Hey, you're in a tough spot.
Labeling
works all the time. 100% of the time. People want to be seen, felt, and understood. Remember, that number one addiction is being understood. So show them that you understand them. And the easiest way to do that is to label.
Seen, felt, and understood. I think that's what everybody wants.
Everybody
wants a sense to belong, have a voice. But that's good. Carrie, I super appreciate you coming all the way to San Diego just for this. No, I'm just kidding. I appreciate you come to the North State to do some work, and then you come in and help Kyle and I. Actually, this is going to be good for us. I think it's good for relationships to understand how different people's brains work and then how to resolve conflict, because conflict can be a good thing. A difference of opinion can be a good thing when handled and addressed correctly.
Yep.
And I'll say this just real briefly. You're going to have conflict in your life. And you can either – some people are like, oh, I hate conflict. Well, here's the deal. You're either going to deal with it in a proactive, healthy way, or you're going to be passively going through it.
Yeah.
And if you're passive-aggressive, that does nobody any good.
No,
and
exactly.
It leaves you feeling guilty.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally agree. Well – Kylie, that's the second show in the books. I really appreciate, again, Carrie, you coming. I'm super thankful to KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM for the opportunity to bring you and other guests. We look forward to the next week.
All right.
And we'll see if we can't get Baron and Chris rescheduled for, if not next week, the Tuesday the 23rd.
All right. We'll see you guys next Tuesday. Thanks.
Thank you.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out.
Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Hi, this is Amber from Ninja Coalition HQ, Reading's premier ninja gym. Based off the popular TV show American Ninja Warrior, we offer group and private ninja training classes, including parkour, open gym sessions, private birthday parties, field trips, and our very popular...